Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Is Israel going from rumors of a war to an actual war with Iran's proxy Hezbollah? America is once again encouraging Israel not to defend herself and withholding weapons to do so. The heat is on. Everything, both literally and figuratively, but we'll filter everything biblically as we discuss the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, June 21st. 2024. You can listen to this or previous episodes again. You can share them with someone you know or read the articles that we talk about on this program or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. And now, here to ask how a cemetery can raise its funeral prices and blame it on the cost of living is Pastor Mark, who recently celebrated a birthday. That's right. Now, we're not saying he's old, but we are saying that his dinner time and his bedtime are getting dangerously close to each other.
Yes, they are. They're getting to know each other very well. Very well. And I like the cost of living. You know, that was good, too. You know, again... Nice.
Okay.
That's good. Very good.
As long as you're happy, I'm happy.
No, that was very good.
Okay. All right. We're going to head to Israel. And CNBC.com, the article here dated June 19th. Israel warns Lebanon of the prospect of an all-out war as the U.S. seeks to de-escalate the hostilities.
Yeah, and before we read that, let me just talk
okay,
about...
Yes.
That's all right. That's, yeah, this is perfectly leading to, again, we, you know, just we did our notes today, and then I'm looking at news before we got here, and today they started just recently shifting supplies. Military supplies are now being shifted to the northern border, getting ready for the oncoming war with Hezbollah. Look, it's going to happen anytime. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Even though the UN Security Council chief is coming out and saying we cannot allow another war and we've got to stop Israel from going into Lebanon, it's going to happen. They can't stop it. It's going to take place. Even as Gaza got cleared out, they're going to push a buffer zone up on northern Israel back just beyond the Litani River, which is where the UN agreed it was supposed to be, the buffer zone back when Israel became a nation to begin with. But they breached it. So they're just going to push them back to what was agreed upon back in 1948. I believe it was in 48 when Litani River. Either way, that's an agreement to be behind the Litani River. And so they're going to push them back. And when they do, remember, Hezbollah has a lot of... missiles, tremendous amount. I think they were saying they could shoot up to 5,000 missiles a day for who knows how long. Some of these are smart missiles guided. So with this kind of technology, it's way better than Gaza Strip. Truly, the things that Gaza was shooting are like bottle rockets compared now to what Hezbollah has. Hezbollah has some real weaponry. So why do I bring that up? Israel cannot allow it. You got to realize how close they are. you know, Greg, you and I were talking just before the show started.
Yeah.
When on our trip to Israel, and we go there, we sit right there on the border looking at it while we have a Bible study, looking out over, at least right after the Bible study, looking out over, you know, the Lebanese border there. So the buffer zone. So it's so close. It would be almost like in your neighborhood, you know, you got a fence up and there's your neighbor on the other side and they've got all these missiles. I mean, you can't make a mistake. So you're going to see, I believe, when they do attack Hezbollah, which could happen at any moment. When they do, I think what you're going to see is kind of that shock and awe thing that we talked about when President Bush went into Iraq, and then it's shock and awe, and you saw these huge explosions, everything just overwhelming kind of force at first. You're going to see that, I think. We'll find out in certain areas right there, just clearing out the border, because they have to go in and take out all of these military areas, these launch sites, to stop this onslaught of rockets coming in. Now, they're not going to be able to stop them all, but we saw what God did when Iran fired all those missiles in. God just stopped them all. There's no air defense system that's as good as what happened when we saw all those missiles coming in from Iran. That was just God, and that was Michael the Archangel and using those systems. But God's going to knock them down, but some of them are going to get through. You're going to see some things getting through and stuff happening. Well, I don't know to what degree God would allow that. Remember, he's also working on breaking Israel and getting them where they need to repent. But God's going to intervene. He's going to stop it. But you're going to see a massive just boom, 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 I believe. And then this, I'm not sure how quick the war will be over. But I think you're going to see something really quick and massive take place. So just our signs of the times listeners, just be on your toes, be watching. This could happen at any time, and it's building up there. And, of course, when it does, remember, the world's head's going to blow off. They're going to have a fit. Look at these terrible Israelis again, you know, committing genocide and all this kind of stuff. Nonsense. It's called self-defense. And really where it's going to come in, Greg, the real attack is going to be Israel's going to attack first. Now, right now, they're shooting back and forth, so it's already kind of begun. But it's just kind of tit-for-tat, little things back and forth. When this happens, I believe Israel will move first, and it's going to be massive. And the reason being is, they've already been told by Hezbollah, Hezbollah said, we're going to attack you, and here's what we're going to do. And we're going to send troops in, and we're going to do this. So Hezbollah verbally has started the war. They've already said what they're going to do. They've got the weapons ready, and they're going to move forward. Now, when you have that kind of knowledge, and you act, you're not the first one doing it. You're not initiating it.
Yeah.
That's still self-defense.
Have they not been launching rockets into Israel for several weeks now?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, back and forth, but I'm talking about full on.
Yeah.
All scale, you know, all you know, war just full on. Full scale war. But what I'm saying is that it's almost like what happened back in 1967. Israel knew that Egypt was going to attack. They intercepted all the information, so they went first and blew up all their jets on the runways down in Egypt. And they totally took out their air force there. And it just took everything out in the peninsula, Sinai, and down there. And it was a wonderful military preemption. But they didn't start it. That wasn't an offensive act. It was still defensive and self-defense because they already knew the attack's about to happen. So they preempted it to stop it. So the same thing's happening with Hezbollah. They know by interception, by all this being said, by nations, by what they're doing, Hezbollah has started the war. They're just waiting for their moment to move. So what Israel's going to do, you watch, they're going to go in fast and heavy and hard, and they're going to strike first in the major escalation of the war. But it's still self-defense because they're stopping what they know is going to happen. Now, here's how the world's going to react. Here they go again. Look at these horrible Jews. They started a war. No, they didn't. That is a lie. I'm preempting the lie. They didn't start anything. They're going to go in and stop it so that it doesn't come any farther. And all they're going to do is create a buffer zone between Israel and Lebanon so that the Jewish people can move back to their homes that are on the border. Again, that town we visited, I don't know if we did the year you were there, but I visited it several times, a town that's further up from Dan that's right there on the border. There's 70,000 homes that are empty, people that have had to empty out because of that. They're going to finally get to go home.
Was there a kibbutz there?
No, we went to a kibbutz further in.
Okay.
And there may be one there, but we didn't go to one there. Went to one further in and had lunch.
Okay.
But this is just a town that was up there. We've been there several times on different trips. I forget who's been there on the trips. But the point is, just be ready. Here's going to be the headlines. Israel attacks Hezbollah. No. Israel, in self-defense, is stopping Hezbollah, and yes, they're having to launch attacks in order to do that because they're coming in. And, of course, the world's going to say, here they go again. They're trying to wipe out another population. Well, they haven't wiped out the Gaza population, and they have no intention to. They moved them to safe areas. They took out the bad guys, and then when they're done, they're done. They're going to do the same thing up there with Lebanon, Hezbollah, and And the same lies and accusations from Satan are going to take place. So be ready for that. Be prepared. But that goes back to your article.
Yes.
Where Israel warns Lebanon of a prospect of all-out war as U.S. seeks to de-escalate. Well, operational plans, it says, for an offensive in Lebanon were approved and validated, and decisions were taken on the continuation of increasing the readiness of the troops in the field by commanders of the Israeli Defense Forces, the Israeli military said Tuesday night. So they had their meeting, they approved it, without disclosing whether the initiative would involve mobilizing troops into the neighboring nation. Hostilities intensified after the IDF last week reported that an Israeli airstrike in southern Lebanon, the village, killed a Hezbollah commander, Sami Taleb Abdullah, along with three other group operatives. Foreign Minister Israel Katz said in a social media update that his country is now, and I quote, very close to the moment of decision to change the rules against Hezbollah in Lebanon in an all-out war. Hezbollah will be destroyed and Lebanon will be severely hit. So that's going to happen. A couple other things. The state of Israel, they say the state of Israel will pay a price on the home fronts with a strong United Nations and the full power of the IDF. But with a strong and united nation, the full power of the IDF will restore security to our residents. I remind you, according to the United Nations, it goes on, there is no territorial dispute, no territorial dispute between Lebanon and Israel. So they don't have an issue with Lebanon. This is Hezbollah inside of Lebanon, which are Iranian proxies.
Yeah.
Whether diplomacy or military, one way or another, we will ensure the safe and secure return of Israelis. So, again, now, here's the thing. The White House getting involved, we'll have more articles on that, but I want to read one last thing before we move on. The White House's ambitions to avoid a spillover of the conflict into a broader war noted, the conversations we've had in Beirut and the ones that we had yesterday in Israel, both are being conducted because the situation is serious. We have seen an escalation in the last few days, and what U.S. President Joe Biden wants to do is to avoid a further escalation and greater war. You know what? He's saying, look, we don't want to see this going to Hezbollah, but even if it does, not beyond that. I get that. But they're going into Lebanon. Hezbollah is going to get hit. You watch. And you're going to see right now a lot of crying from not just the world, but our own administration and hindrance to that, which some of the other articles will indicate.
Okay. Well, we will get to those articles right now. As we come back to America to see the American perspective of the Israeli conflict and America's intentions, not necessarily aligning with biblical intentions.
Not at all.
Although they are prophetic in the sense of Zechariah chapter 12.
Yes.
All right. This is from the Jerusalem Post, dated June 17th. Amos Hochstein warns against the IDF Hezbollah tensions in an Israel visit.
Yeah, and of course, wisely sending a Jewish man over. What a great Jewish name. Amos.
Yes.
And Hochstein, great Jewish name. He met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Isaac Herzog, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and National Security Party head Benny Gantz. United States warned. Look at this. This is how arrogant we are.
Yeah.
The United States warned Israel not to escalate the IDF Hezbollah war as it sought diplomatic solutions to the violence. So it's like saying, look, they're attacking you, but we're warning you. Don't you escalate this. Who cares what you say? Go ahead, Gray.
Yeah,
it's on the tip of your
tongue.
Let it out.
No. I just, as you're describing this.
Don't say something we'll have to cut out of the show, but go ahead and say whatever's on your heart.
No.
Oh, it's usually me that have to cut. I'm just kidding. That's
a
joke.
When I think of God's description of foolishness, I think of the arrogance and the ignorance that we display.
Yeah.
Ignorance of what God's word says, yeah. Ignorance of what is coming out of the mouths of Israel's enemies.
Yeah.
And the arrogance to think that somehow you can overcome an ideology that is built upon utter destruction of another people group.
I know.
When we talk about negotiations, I'm like, I'm sorry. They're not negotiable.
No, they're not. They're not. And when you
that's what I wanted to say.
No, you're right. And the broader picture of it, basically, put this in heaven language. That is, the United States warned God to stay out of the Hezbollah war. Because God is the one working through the nation of Israel to take care of the enemies of Israel on all their sides. So we're giving warnings to God, in essence. They may not realize they're doing that. But they're basically saying,
they're ignorant of that.
God, you stay out of this. Don't get involved, God. America's warning. Stay out of this. Well, I don't think God's intimidated by that. As a matter of fact, how arrogant we are in the midst of that. It says the message to Israel is don't do anything in the north. Well, no, God's message to you is stay out of God's land and God's people. It's none of your business. The U.S. President Joe Biden's special envoy, Amos Hochstein, visited Israel on Monday with this message. We don't want to see escalation in the north. We've made that clear to the government of Israel directly. And Israel noted that Hezbollah attacks from southern Lebanon against Israel were untenable, as was the situation of the Lebanese civilians living through the consequences of the cross-border war. So they're saying, basically, these Hezbollah attacks from against Israel are untenable, right? You can't keep doing that. But also you're saying you shouldn't be attacking back because you're putting the Lebanese civilians in danger. Look, when it's war and you're being attacked...
What about the Israeli civilians?
That's the thing. What about Israel? There you nailed it. That's what I have in black. I have exclamation marks after it for my note. What about Israel? What about it? What do you mean? Look... We recognize in war, civilians die. Nobody wants civilians to die. Nobody wants one child, one woman, one anybody that's innocent. But that is called the reality of war. We all hate it. God hates it. But it's not going to change until Jesus Christ comes back and is ruling and reigning on the planet. And so to try to say, that would be like saying right now with, you know, all these Russian submarines off our coast and the nuclear stuff, they start attacking America. And right now they could very easily do that. They're right off our coast. And our president is doing nothing that we know of. But right now they're there, they start attacking. And we say, you know what, we don't want to fire back at those ships because there are some guys on there that really don't agree with the leadership in Russia. And they don't agree with Putin. They don't think this should be happening. So if we shoot weapons to stop those guys that are killing us, we're going to hurt innocent people. I mean, that's the logic. I'm sorry. If someone innocent is on that ship and they start shooting at our country, we need to sink the ship and blow everyone up on it because that's the only way to stop it. No one wants a civilian to die. No one. But it's the reality of war. I'm so tired of hearing this whole thing because, look, if Israel was just indiscriminately trying to kill civilians, okay, there's a problem. Now, that's a problem. You say, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. You're just going in and indiscriminately killing people that are not involved in this? That is a war crime, and it needs to stop. That is not what is happening. It is absolutely not. As a matter of fact, Israel has gone over and above to stop civilians from dying, dropping leaflets, moving populations. I mean, it is so ridiculous what they're being asked to do. And when you see this kind of just foolish statement, ignorant statement from the leadership of the current administration saying, we don't want any civilians hurt. If there's war, civilians are going to get hurt. Surprise. I would ask this question. Has there ever been a war in world history that civilians have not been hurt? Maybe a battle, but has there ever been a war, which means a much broader campaign that takes longer? I don't know you'll ever find a war where a civilian has never been killed. Maybe battles, yes, but not wars. And so this is a war. It's a war for the survival of their nation. They want to kill all Jews from the river to the sea. That is the River Jordan to the Mediterranean, as they stated. And so this just drives me crazy. But I want our listeners to realize, look, don't buy into these lies that are trying to get you to somehow say that Israel is doing something wrong. They're not doing something wrong. They're doing something right. They're defending themselves, and God is backing them to do so.
All right. Well, speaking of crazy, Pastor Mark, let's go to Fox News.
Are you calling me crazy?
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Let me finish and you'll understand who's crazy. It's not you, at least not today anyway. Fox News dated June 19th. A group is warning of a Pandora's box of polyamory. Child marriages become possible under a proposed California amendment.
Yeah, it's interesting. Not just child marriages, but multiple marriages among Muslims, which it doesn't mention in this article.
Oh, very interesting.
But it's interesting to see some of the laws that are passing, which would be very conducive to the Muslim population moving in. And
yes,
that would fit perfectly with Sharia
law.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so,
wow. Okay.
A pro-family California organization is warning that a proposed state constitutional amendment to eliminate the traditional definition of marriage from state law could potentially open up a Pandora's box. Give me a break. What do you mean potentially? If you eliminate traditional marriage from state law, anything goes. Whether it's be a man with a child, or whether it be a man with an animal, or whether it be men with men, women, women, which is really the goal in this.
Yeah.
But it can also be the Muslims moving in with multiple wives. Assembly Constitution Amendment 5, ACA 5. It's actually ACA 5, which aims to repeal Proposition 8's language that marriage is only between a man and a woman, was introduced by a Democratic state senator, Scott Wiener, the assembly member in this amendment. Now, this is another thing where, again, he's directly confronting God. Whether he realizes it or not, what he's saying, look, who gave the definition of marriage?
God did.
Yes. God gave it in the garden.
It's Adam his design.
Eve, God presided over the very first wedding. He brought Adam and Eve together. He joined them as man and wife, and God said, this is an institution approved by me that I want mankind to operate in. It's to be between a man and a woman. So this is God's law. This is not California law. This is not constitutional law. This is not any kind of human right, as they try to say it is. This is God's law who created all things, and the Creator has the right to make any laws he wants. And if you don't like him, you can't stop it because he's God. But he made the laws, and he said it's a man and a woman. Now, this guy's coming and saying, you know what, God? I don't care about your law. I'm going to change your law. I defy your law, and I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to do it legislatively. And so, again, it goes on to say siblings could get married. Nephews and nieces could get married, aunts and uncles.
Opens up the door to basically legalizing incest at the same time.
Anything. Anything. Wow. You could even have it said mothers and fathers marrying each other.
Mothers and
Or mothers and children. I'm talking about could be marrying their own parents.
Oh, I'm with you.
They could marry their own parents.
Yes.
So, it is.
Wow.
Yeah. Look, California never ceases to amaze me. But here's the thing, Greg. We talked about before the broadcast. The Bible talks about provoking God to anger. It's one thing to sin and be sinners needing God's salvation and we need God's help. It's another thing to look at what the Bible says is an abomination to God and then push laws through to say, God, we don't care. You created, you set the guidelines. We're going to redo it. We don't like what you've done. We're going to rebel. We're going to rewrite it and do whatever we want. Look, we can do that all we want, but at some point, God's going to come in and judge that, and it's going to end in the mighty judgment of God.
We are legislating lawlessness.
Yeah, that's right.
That's essentially what's happening. But we can't lose sight of this fact, too, Pastor Mark. We know that Satan's modus operandi is to distort or pervert God's creation, God's design, God's intent.
Absolutely.
And so marriage is God's institution. So he is going to find ways to attack it through people that are susceptible to his influence.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we see there in California.
You're right. And, really, Greg, this is a great study for some of you out there. If you want to go, just go back and read what God established at the first of Genesis and notice every single one of those things is being opposed aggressively.
Yes.
And why? Is it because of mankind? No.
Nope.
Now, mankind, I get it. Mankind's, we're sinners. But this is Satan. For example, God said he created male and female. So Satan goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to make new definitions. And we're not just going to have male and female. We're going to have all kinds of different genders. That's a direct affront to God. That's saying, God, I don't like what you did. We're going to change it. That's Satan. I'm not putting that on man. I'm not going to put that on any political party. This is demonic. And God will certainly hold man accountable. God said, be fruitful and multiply. What does the world say today? Stop having so many kids. Matter of fact, people get mad at you at certain
abortion.
Areas. Oh, abortion, not only abortion, that's murder, yes, and stopping kids. But Greg, there are certain areas of the country where if you come in with a large-sized family, people look at you and scoff.
Yes, they do.
What is wrong with you? It's like, you know what's wrong? Oh, what, you mean I'm obeying the word of God? God said to be fruitful and multiply. The more kids, the better. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. You know how many a quiver holds?
12.
12. That's 12 arrows in a container. And so God is saying, you have 12 kids? Bless you. Praise the Lord for that. Now, I would say as a parent, give me more vacations, lots of Gatorade, and have mercy on me, because I barely handled four.
Yes.
But what a blessing a large family is.
Absolutely.
But you go down the list, everything God said to do, Satan mocks it and says the opposite. And it's demonic. It's just absolutely demonic.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next two articles I'm going to give you at once, and you can create the stew that you would like to create out of this. The first one is from Breitbart.com. Senator Hagerty is letting us know through lots of tweets that Netanyahu is right, Biden is withholding approved weapons, and the companion article is from JNS.org. The White House is delaying the sale of F-15 fighter jets to Israel despite Congress approving it.
Yeah, I want to talk about both of these. Again, look what it says in this first one. First of all, praise the Lord for Bill Hagerty. And I want to say this as well. Our representatives there in Nashville passed I don't know what you call it. I guess I should, it's not a bill, but they've done legislation.
An amendment, a resolution?
Well, yeah, resolution that the month of July, is a month of prayer for Tennessee and for our nation.
Oh, wow.
And they're calling on the state and the nation to fast and pray as you feel led for our state and our nation through the month of July. And so how many states do you know that have representatives that pass those kind of propositions?
Right.
I mean, that's just what a blessing we have to have so many believers who are making a stand. So remember, guys, be praying through July. Fasting for, if you want to, for our state and our nation, and God's going to bless us for that.
Maybe we can remind the listeners next week if we get the article, maybe read more about the resolution.
Absolutely.
It would be great. And really acknowledge the people that put it forth to get it passed.
I'll mention their names on the air, and we'll talk about it. But Senator Hagerty, he's one of these guys. I don't know if he's on the resolution or not. But again, these are people from Tennessee, from our area, that are really standing for the Lord. And he said Wednesday that Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is correct to complain that President Joe Biden is withholding arms from Israel, deliberately failing to finalize sales approved by Congress. And here's the amazing thing to me. President Biden is stopping these deliveries of weapons, and then they come out in the press conference and say, we're doing no such thing. We have no idea what you're talking about. It's just flat out lies. They're lying straight to the American public. As Breitbart noted earlier, there's a rising concern about a new rift between the Biden administration and the Netanyahu government over a possible withholding of arms. No, they're doing it. As Israel faces growing threats from Iran's terror proxies, here's what we have. We have our friend and ally being attacked by all their enemies. We have the weapons. We promised to give them to them. It's been approved by Congress, and our president is slow walking it. Our leadership is slow walking it on purpose. Oh, we're doing it. We're just not doing it in the timing that's going to help anybody. But we hadn't stopped it. We're just not going to do it for like a year or whatever. Netanyahu posted a video on X Tuesday urging the administration to stop withholding weapons. White House Press Secretary, listen to what she said. This is so arrogant. I can't stand it. The White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, responded, we genuinely do not know what he's talking about. We just don't. That is just a lie. It is just a lie. They know exactly what they're talking about. The president confirmed in early May that the U.S. was withholding a shipment of heavy precision-guided bombs in protest at Israel's decision to attack Hamas in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Biden threatened to withhold artillery shells as well amid reports of generally slow delivery of U.S. weapons. Earlier this week, there were rumors that the administration said it would resume deliveries until Netanyahu's video, which caused a stir. There were reports that the White House had retaliated by canceling a high-level meeting Thursday with Israel officials to discuss Iran. The White House said its meeting was just postponed. But Hagerty said, nope. This is real. This rift is real. They're truthfully, on purpose, holding back shipments as some kind of a political statement and an opposition to God. I would say to Israel, yes, but to God. Because God said we're to stand with Israel. I'll bless those who bless Israel. I'll curse those who curse Israel. And by the way, we are crying out for God to curse us, are we not, Greg? We're crying out for God to curse us. How much more can we do? We're in God's face. Now, the second one, look at this. This was the confirmation. This is why I wanted to add this in, because they're saying, no, we genuinely have no idea what he's talking about. And then this article comes out today. White House delays F-15 sale to Israel despite congressional approval. Oh, yeah, we didn't know, but we're doing it. The White House is holding up a fleet of F-15 jet fighters. The $18 billion sale of 50 fighter planes is one of the largest arms deals with Israel in recent years, the Wall Street Journal reported. So this is not just, you know, some hearsay. The sale had been delayed by two or four congressional leaders who needed to sign off on the major arms deal, but they removed their objections on May 22nd. So we're now looking at, a month later, tomorrow. The next step was for the State Department. Here it is. This is where the current administration is getting in the way. The next step was for the State Department to formally notify lawmakers about the sale. The administration has not yet done that. You know, it's busy up here. I know that there's a war and people are dying and they're about to lose their nation and everybody's closing in on them, wanting to destroy them.
We're busy painting flags on the streets.
I know they're wanting to rebuild, you know, camps and burn them all again. That's what their desire is. But you know what? We've got this golf date. Our tea time is tomorrow at 9. And we need to make that. White House and congressional officials have confirmed that it's not yet been signed off on. And yet they have no idea what Netanyahu is talking about. The State Department denied it was holding up the sale with an official telling the journal, there's no, look at this, how can I say this? The political language. Listen to what they said. They're great at saying stuff without saying stuff. There is no policy. Note that. There is no policy guidance to slow down the transfer of Israel? No, of course there's not a policy guidance because it's been approved. That's not the issue. It's not about policy. You're choosing to stop the sale to Israel. Has nothing to do with the policy. And that's your way of getting around it by saying there's no policy. Nobody said there was a policy. What we're saying is you won't sign off on it. Why won't you sign off on it? The war is underway. They need to protect their people. Stop delaying this. And again, when this happens, Greg, again, this is shaking our fist in God's face saying, God, you said those who bless Israel, I'll bless. Those who curse Israel, I'll curse. We know that we're supposed to be helping them, but we're not going to. And so, sorry, God, we're just not going to move on this. There's only so much time that God's going to put up with that. And let me assure all of our listeners, God is not worried about America helping Israel. And God is not concerned that America's not. God doesn't need America to do anything. God Almighty will protect Israel. Michael the Archangel will protect Israel. God will make sure of that. But we can either be a part of it or we can be God's enemy. And right now we're God's enemy.
Well, but working to help prevent Israel from defending herself.
Yes, of course.
That is the issue.
Of course
right,
it is.
Absolutely.
Of course it is. And so what you happen, we're fighting against God.
You know, my brain really quickly goes back to 2005 and Hurricane Katrina and everything that was happening in the southern border there in Israel.
Yes.
Okay. And the correlations. Okay. And I'm just wondering at this point, because I can't say anything, and I'm not smart enough to put all the puzzle pieces together like folks like Bill Koenig does, but I can't help but think about our recent activity, our involvement in obstructing Israel from doing from defending themselves, and all of the sudden these enemy warships showing up on our coastline.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a correlation, but I can't help but wonder if it's not.
Well, you wonder if it's not a warning. I mean, I know Putin's trying to use that as a warning to the U.S., but you wonder sometimes if God's not at least saying, guys, do you know why you haven't been destroyed up to this point? Do you know who's protected the United States of America? Do you realize that? It's God Almighty, because we've stood with God and we've stood with Israel. But now that we're turning away from God, not all of America, I know that, but a large portion, and our current administration very openly in God's face turning away from God, that at some point God says, look, that's enough. I've got to deal with it. And look, America cannot avoid the judgment of God. At some point it will be judged. Maybe we'll make it until the rapture. I hope so. Maybe we'll make it to the great tribulation. I don't know. But it will be judged for all the babies that we've killed and are killing, all the things that we're doing to fight against Israel and everything else. But how long do we get the delay? I mean, it's God's grace that we've not been taken out by now, Greg. It is totally God's grace. And I'm so thankful for the gracious God that we have.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news. And we're on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will later on today become podcast number episode 316, available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
We have one listener question this week, Pastor Mark. This comes from Kim, who enjoys Signs of the Times north of us in Michigan. And her question is this: the Bible says in the end there will be many false prophets, but it also says he will give many dreams and visions. Are the self-proclaimed prophets for real? And are there prophets today, or is this another deception?
Yeah, let me just say, there still is the gift of prophecy that's operating today. I'm going to say that right up front. Again, just a great question, Kim. The gift of prophecy is still operating. However, here's where this comes in. There are no more prophets. Because someone has a dream or a vision that shows them what's going to happen, that's a gift of prophecy. That doesn't make you a prophet. And even today, for example, one of the gifts is a gift of prophecy. And I still believe people do see things futuristically. And I believe there's two ways that the gift operates today. We see in Scripture, and that is foretelling and forthtelling. And that is, God will show us things in advance sometimes. So you will have maybe a dream or a vision, or something that you know, even without a dream or a vision, that God shows you, if you have that gift, that could be futuristic. Also, that's foretelling, but also it's forthtelling, F-O-R-T-H, and that is where you simply, as you're proclaiming the word of God, God uses his word to speak prophetically to people's hearts. So there's two ways that it operates. So yes, the gift of prophecy is still available. And here's where the trick comes in. Are there still modern day prophets? The answer biblically is no. And again, Jesus himself is the one that tells us this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 13, for all of the prophets. Notice not some of them. All of the prophets and the law. So now we have prophets and law, and he's going to tell what they were used for. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until, and that's the key word, until John. That is John the Baptist in context. So what he's saying is there were prophets and the law prophesied up until John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, we have identified here as the very last official biblical prophet. So, and why would the prophets stop with John? Let's go back before the cross and before John. Remember, the Holy Spirit did not indwell anyone permanently until after the cross. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you and will be in you, he said to his disciples. He wasn't in them yet. There are three main operations, or I would say workings, of the Holy Spirit we see in the Bible. With, in, and upon. He is with us as a believer all the time. And he's even with, I think, the unbeliever, drawing them to him. That's one word, para, P-A-R-A in the Greek.
Yep.
He is in us when we give our life to the Lord, the indwelling. That's I-N, that's E-N, E-N. Rather, which is our word, I-N. It means when you give your life to the Lord, it tells us in Romans, we are immediately indwelt. And there's a third work of the Spirit, the upon, E-P-I, that's for power. And that's the empowering of the Spirit. And that's where we see the Holy Spirit came upon them, for example, at Pentecost. That wasn't the indwelling, that was the upon. So there's the undwelling, the indwelling, and the withdwelling, the three works we see with three different words there in the Greek. And we see that in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were only two of them operating. You had the withdwelling and the undwelling. And you'd see God was with someone, God was with King David. And then you say the Spirit of God came upon David. So you see the undwelling and the withdwelling, but you'd never see...
The para? Wouldn't you see the para?
Yeah, which is the undwelling. Oh. No, the para is the withdwelling. The withdwelling.
Yes.
And the undwelling, E-P-I.
Gotcha.
But they're, of course, Hebrew words. That wouldn't be those words in the Greek. So but anyway, so you saw him with people and upon them in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, a new one was added. You had the with and the upon, but you also had the within, the indwelling.
Yes.
So prior to John, here's why this is key about prophets, Kim. Prior to Jesus on the cross, there was not the indwelling. There was just the undwelling and the withdwelling. So you needed prophets. Why? Because you needed someone to hear the word of God and share it with the people. You didn't have the Spirit living within you who would tell you the word of God himself and would prophesy personally to you the way he does today. God speaks right now to our very heart because he lives in us. Well, you didn't have that back in the days of the prophets. So God raised up certain men and certain women at times who were prophets or prophetesses, and they would hear the voice of God because you didn't have the indwelling, because the cross hadn't happened yet. And then they would speak to the nation and speak to the people the word of God. So you needed the prophets to know the word of God. Well, today we have the word of God written out, as well as now the Spirit of God bears witness inside of us. So you no longer need the Old Testament prophets. Now we simply have a gift of prophecy. And so that's why he said the prophets were until John. So what the Bible shows us is the very last prophet, official prophet in the Bible, is John the Baptist. Now what we have are people who have gifts of prophecy. So I do believe that it still exists. The problem we run into oftentimes is there are people today who are trying to seek a greater spiritual position and authority than God has given them. So they will say, I am a prophet of God. Well, no, you're not. There are no more prophets of God. They don't exist anymore. You may be someone that legitimately has a gift of prophecy. Okay, I can go with that. But if you're claiming somehow you're a prophet like Elijah and Elisha and all the, then you're mistaken. You're either purposely being untruthful or you just don't know the word of God. But either way, so about dreams and visions, could they be legitimate? Yes, but that would be a gift of prophecy. So I do believe we have to be aware and be open to prophecies today, and then God will confirm them. You watch them to be confirmed. If it's God, God will confirm it. So we don't despise prophecies, we're told in 1 Corinthians. But anybody that claims they are a prophet like the Old Testament prophets, they are either just genuinely deceived and don't know the Bible, or they are false prophets trying to pretend to be biblical prophets. Don't be afraid of them and don't worry about them.
All right, Kim, thank you for your question. And if you have a question like Kim, we invite you to visit our website, thewaymedia.net. Just click on Signs of the Times or download our Way Media app and do the same thing right there. All right, as we take a look at the ever-growing, prophetically fulfilling, growing anti-Semitism, we visit Fox News for an article dated June 15th. Bill Maher unloads. How come it's okay for the left to hate the Jews?
Yeah, you know, Bill Maher, it's interesting. As someone who says he does not believe in God...
Well, he's been very left-leaning in terms of his politics. So the fact that he himself coming from the left side of politics is really espousing things that we've been talking about all along.
Yeah, again, it just shows, even for somebody who says they don't read the Bible, know the Bible, or pay attention to it, he understands some level of right and wrong.
Yes.
Which is interesting. It says real-time host Bill Maher put a spotlight on a lack of condemnation of the growing anti-Semitism that has erupted on the left in comparison to the country's response to the infamous 2017 white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. He says, I've got a question. How come it's okay for the left to hate the Jews? Maher asked on Friday night. Because obviously, if this was the people at Charlottesville doing this, wouldn't there be a bigger outcry? And then the CNN contributor Anna Navarro responded by saying, well, it's not apples to apples comparison, which it is, saying that the images of dead children in Gaza are a major factor in the left's activism. By the way, most of those images we now know are fake images that were done by Pollywood. That is Palestinian Hollywood over there. I've seen, Greg, multiple videos of them making all these fake movies. They lay kids on the ground and pour fake blood around them and then video it. And they're using pictures from other wars in other countries
to make it. It's a deep fake.
It's lies. Anyway, saying the images of dead children in Gaza are a major factor in the left's activism. But writer Joel Stein insisted the college students currently protesting have more power than the Tiki Torch IT guys that were marching in Charlottesville. And I quote, if the people in Charlottesville who were chanting, Jews won't replace us, that's bad. It's not as bad as death to the Jews. That's not deplorable. So what he's saying is, you guys are saying that somehow it's different, and it's not the same. No, it is the same, and yet it's being dealt with very differently. So again, you see the hypocrisy, but remember, this is a spiritual battle that's taking place. And let me just say again, look, I know that there have been some children, no doubt, that have died in Gaza, like in any war. But if you've seen how many fake videos are being put out there like I have, and watched the videos of them actually setting the cameras up and putting the fake blood out, coming out of Gaza, they're shooting themselves in the foot, Greg, with their social media, because they're showing all the food they have. They're showing all the fake videos of people dying. So if anybody that wants to spend any time to really see what's going on, it's not hard to see. But I keep thinking, why are you guys showing the world that you're all fake? I would ride the narrative. Don't show this. Don't put it out there. Your films, the people that are filming, don't put it out there. But they are. It's amazing.
I wonder if that's, you know, another aspect of spiritual blindness. It's physically there, but for some reason they don't see it.
Well, it's the people that are watching them. They're thinking, this is so great. And they put it on their Facebook page or their social or their X or their Twitter. It's like, guys, come on. I'm glad they're doing it. God's exposing them. But if you don't know the truth out there, you're not paying attention.
Yeah. All right, it's time to look at bad company, bad intentions, bad ideas, bad solutions, bad outcomes, bad actors, and bad breath. It's pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption.
It's bad.
It's really bad. The first bad thing we're going to talk about is from NBCNews.com, dated June 17th. A major heat wave to hit the Midwest and the East Coast, bringing heat alerts to 72 million people.
You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that God is going to turn the heat up on the sun, quite literally, in the last days for those who rebel against God. And you wonder if these people that are trying to stop the sunlight and all that and block it to maybe stop, you know, maybe Satan trying to work through them to stop God's judgment or to go against God's word. God's not going to allow that. And I'm not saying God's doing this. That's not my point. I'm saying this could be just a headwind again, a prophecy down the road, because we do see during the Great Tribulation, it's going to get really hot as God begins to judge mankind. It says almost 66 million people across the U.S. were under some level of heat alert Monday afternoon. About 150 million people were experiencing heat temperatures above 90 degrees Fahrenheit on Monday, and readings could rise over 100 degrees for around 9 million people. Heat warnings, watches, or advisories were in effect from Iowa to Maine, affecting Detroit, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, and other cities. The duration of this heat wave is notable and potentially the longest experienced in decades, some said. Now, again, many people are going to say, you know, global warming. No, this is called just weather that's bad this time of year. And again, the Bible tells us that God himself is going to be turning the heat up in the last days. And it also tells us in Romans 8:22 that the earth is going to be groaning as the Lord's return gets closer. So I think we see a multitude of factors going on here that we have no control over. And God's the one controlling it. And so I would just say stay inside and enjoy your air conditioning. And don't vote anybody in that wants to do away with air conditioning, because there's a lot of people that do on the left. It's shocking. Yeah. But either way, there you have it.
Well, if you think that heat is not deadly, then you have not read this article from Breitbart.com. This is dated June 19th. At least 550 Muslims have died on a Hajj pilgrimage as temperatures have hit 125 degrees Fahrenheit in Mecca.
Yeah, and it's bumped up now to almost 1,000.
Wow.
Not over 900
yeah,
now so far confirmed.
This is a couple days old.
Yeah. I mean, they're dying again.
Wow.
It's amazing. This is the Hajj. This is the people that are going in Mecca. You know, when you are a Muslim, you're supposed to go at least one time in your life to Mecca.
To Mecca, yeah.
And make that pilgrimage to go and walk around the rock that came down from heaven that the angel Gabriel brought down, they believe, and they walk around it and worship it and all that goes with that. And Greg, I would almost say almost every year people die, and sometimes greater numbers die. And a lot of times people get trampled because of the crowds. Now they're dying because of heat. And isn't it interesting to see that those who worship God have life and life more abundantly? And those who worship the enemy, Jesus said he's come only to kill, steal, and destroy. And I watch this tragic loss of life in those that are misled in this false religion. Two Arab diplomats told this French press, AFP, on Tuesday that at least 550 Muslims, now almost 1,000, have died in Mecca and Saudi Arabia from a heat-related illness. Temperatures in Mecca have soared to 125 degrees Fahrenheit in June. Saudi officials said on Sunday that more than 2,000 pilgrims have been treated for heat stress. No doubt that's probably doubled by now. But they did not mention any fatalities and have not provided updated information since Sunday. AFP's tally of deaths based on local media sources stood at 645 on Wednesday. And again, we now know it's up to almost 1,000, probably is 1,000 or over by now. Just tragic. Yeah. And again, you know, it's interesting. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus Christ comes to give life and life more abundant. The contrast couldn't be more clear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sad.
Yep. Well, we go from sad to weird. This is from Yahoo.com, dated June 17th. A scientist says that humans are rapidly approaching singularity and plausible immortality.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I wanted to give a definition here from Wikipedia about singularity, so you have a little bit of understanding. It says it's technology. It's technology singularity. It's a hypothetical future point in time in which the technological growth becomes uncontrollable and irreversible. So computers take over, AI, resulting in unforeseeable consequences for human civilization. And again, the goal is to reach humans and computers merging together so that it's this whole new species, if you will. And again, they're hoping to be able to never die and do these things. And it's a direct affront again by Satan. Remember, God told Adam and Eve in the garden, if you eat this fruit, you know, when you do it, if you do it, you're going to die. And yet Satan goes, oh, yeah, well, we're going to see, you know, and Satan knows he can't prolong, you know, change that law of God. But I think it's more of kind of a mockery where he deceives mankind into thinking we're going to come up with something AI related that can actually keep life going forever. It says futurist Raymond Kurzweil has a new book coming out that spells out why he believes that nanorobots are the key to helping humans live significantly longer. And pretty much all of our shots now have nanotechnology in them. They're pretty open about talking about that. And these kind of mini robots, if you will, they live significantly longer, they believe, as they work together to solve all these problems, whether it be disease or illness, you name it. The MIT-educated futurist, known for pioneering computer-based learning technologies, believes that pairing artificial intelligence, AI, with biotechnology, humans can lead to aging solutions that transcend what we can even comprehend. So we can extend life and maybe eventually become eternal, which God said, no, you can't. If you sin, you will die. You're not going to come up with some ability technologically to get around the consequences of God's judgment on sin. For over five decades, this futurist Raymond Kurzweil has shown a propensity for understanding how computers can change our world. Now he's ready to anoint nanorobots as the key to allowing humans to transcend life's 120-year threshold, as you see people that sometimes live to that age. As he wrote, both in the upcoming The Singularity is Nearer book, set for release on June 25th, and in an essay published in Wired, the merging of biotechnology with artificial intelligence will lead to nanotechnology helping overcome the limitations of our biological organs altogether. And Greg, it's interesting, many believe that some of this trying to get everybody involved in a mandatory shot campaign has to do with some of this technology moving forward and trying to kind of, I guess, push man into a whole new evolution where we now become part man, part computer. And again, it can sound appealing, you know, super strength, super long life. The problem is God didn't create us that way. It's going to cause people, if they push this kind of technology, it's going to cause people to die. You know, we're not made to be part computer, part man, and the experiments are not successful. They're not going to work. But that's kind of this idea. It's the merging of man with computer, and we become this higher level of species. It kind of goes back to the Captain America, the first one that came out, how he could run faster and do these amazing things. He had this, they engineered him to be able to do more. They're trying to really do that, and they're trying to use this technology. I saw a video out of MIT where they have these nanobots, these tiny little robots, and they showed how they can put them in a system and manipulate them, and by sending certain signals or waves to them, they can shape and move and actually form things and create things in what they're in. They're saying if they do that in the human body, they'll be able to do all kinds of manipulations to make us superhuman. Again, it's really weird technology, but it's out there. It's being used now, and it's science fiction in many ways, but again, it's happening. The problem is they're not going to be successful, and it's going to end up causing more harm than good. And who knows how that's going to come into play. Sometimes I wonder about the whole vision there where these demons are released from the earth in Revelation, and they come out looking like these horses with long hair and iron teeth and faces like a lion. You think, you wonder, is this somehow connected to AI down the road? And I don't know. It may just be a vision of what the demonic realm looks like behind the scenes, but it is interesting. And, you know, you're going to see more and more of this kind of stuff being talked about.
Well, I don't remember what chapter it is in Revelation where it says that they'll come forth to inflict mankind for 5 months.
Yeah.
And the pain or whatever the infliction is will be so horrific that men will seek death and will not be able to find it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
So when it says that and you're saying this, part of me wonders.
Makes you wonder, right?
Well, it makes me wonder and go, okay, all right, well, let's just say God allowed these nanobots or whatever to have some sort of effect on life, even though we know at some point you're going to die.
Yeah.
But maybe it has some sort of influence in they won't be able to die.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an interesting dynamic.
I remember an old, you know, when I was a kid, The Twilight Zone, you know, was on TV, and there was one episode where this guy couldn't die.
Yes.
And he kept jumping he jumped all the buildings, he jumped in front of a car, he couldn't die. And so when I read that in Revelation, I think about that guy, and it says they won't be able to die, but they're going to be in so much pain they're going to want to. It's going to be, again, the demonic realm is going to be released, it says, from the center of the earth, and they're going to be able to sting mankind like the sting of a scorpion, it says. For 5 months, except for those who have the mark of God that have gotten saved after the rapture, they won't be able to sting them. God's going to protect the righteous. But they're going to sting them. And whatever it is, like you said, Greg, it's going to be so horrific.
Yeah.
They're going to want to die, and they can't die. And you wonder, it could be. I don't know whether that's connected or not, but it's very, very intriguing.
And I don't know. And I would also challenge the notion, too, Pastor Mark, that the premise or the drive behind this technology in order to achieve this immortality is not for the preservation of the human race, but really the effect of sin, because Satan himself said, hey, listen, the reason why God doesn't want you to eat this fruit is because then your eyes will be opened and you will be like God.
That's right.
And I think sin opens that door for our mind to think that somehow that we can be something that God has not designed us to be.
That's right. We can be like God. We can be our own little gods, as well as we can defy God's word that said you'll certainly die. will say, no, we're not going to die. We're going to somehow do something where we won't. But you cannot override the Word of God. You can't overtake the Word of God. And again, it's going to get uglier and uglier. And I just am so glad that the Bible says that we're going to be taken out of here before all that takes place. I don't want to be here for that. And unashamedly so. Like I said, some people seem to take some kind of, some kind of strange pride in wanting to be here and fight it out through that whole thing. I'm like, you know what? If God's going to come rescue me and drop down that rope from that chopper above it, I'm grabbing on and let him fly me out of there. I'm like, get me out of here. I don't want to be here and be surrounded in the embassy and killed. Let's just get out of here. And,
the embassy. Yes.
Yeah, you know, they do that. Those going to rescue them from the embassies. They drop down the, you know, but I look at that and go, we're on a mission and we've been dropped into enemy territory. And we're here until God says you're done. And once our mission's over, I mean, if you gave a soldier a choice, you either fight your way out or we'll pick you up. Any smart soldier's going to say, pick me up and fly me out. Or I don't want to fight out of here. What are you trying to prove?
You just began the New Testament on Wednesday night, starting in Matthew. And I think it was Wednesday night when you said this, I could be wrong, that you said that Scripture tells us that the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. Would you explain that?
Ecclesiastes says the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. What a great, encouraging, hopeful scripture. Because the fear of death is all of us at some point in our life face it. As a believer, you hopefully get over that. Especially as an unbeliever, you live with that your whole life. You forget about it till you start getting close to it again. And as a believer, you may have thoughts come in when you hear about the cancer diagnosis or something else that's going wrong for a moment, but then God's Spirit brings peace and there's joy. You're like, I'm going to the kingdom, and there's this freedom and joy that comes with it. But what he's saying is, look, the day of our birth, you come into a world that's filled with sin, and we come in as a sinner, and it's a hard life. But the day of our death, we get released from these bodies of sin, and we get a brand new body in the kingdom. We're with the Lord. There's no more suffering forever again after that, and there's true righteousness and joy. It's amazing what's ahead. So that's where the joy comes in, not being afraid of these things down here. And I think more than ever, in these last days, we as believers have to lose our fear of death, because there's going to be a lot more signs of death around us. And it doesn't mean we're going to die, but we're going to see a lot more. The Bible says plagues will increase, wars are going to increase, or people are openly saying World War III can start at any time with the tensions around the world. We know they're talking about, again already, they're talking about a bird flu that could be coming up here as we get closer to the election, which is interesting to me, the timing. And they're trying to bring scare tactics, you know, you're going to be afraid, and maybe mandating more shots or whatever. They've already got shots prepared, believe it or not, for this thing coming up. So the bottom line is, we don't need to be afraid. We need to trust God and realize our days are in His hands. We're not going anywhere until He says so. Nobody can stop us until He says so. And if God says, Mark, you're done, well, praise the Lord. Because I go straight to be in the kingdom. The day of my death is better than the day of my birth, and I'll see you guys there. I mean, we're all going to get there, and it's going to be a great party. It's just some of us get there sooner, some of us get there later, but there's no reason to be afraid.
Good.
Yes, great encouragement, again, from the Word of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are out of articles today.
No, the groundbreaking movie, the Jesus film for deaf audiences. Did you not get that one on your articles?
No, you said to remove it.
Oh, okay. You know what you did? You did say to remove, because we covered it already.
We covered it already.
See, it fell on, I didn't mean to say so. I almost used a cliche that wouldn't have been appropriate here. I truly was an accident. I didn't mean that at all. And I'm not in any way.
That's okay.
Yeah, but that was a total accident either way. The point is, I wasn't listening very well at that, which is interesting about what it's about. But either way.
Well, I'll share something real quick to give you your outro. Our evangelism team last night had 21 teams go out into the Knoxville area and share the good news of Jesus Christ, and had received 21 professions of faith.
Isn't that amazing? I tell you what, I'm just amazed at what's happening with our evangelism team. This is our third round of doing the evangelism team, and we've literally seen, I think, in both rounds, over 100 people get saved over just a few months. And now, Greg, this has just started. This is maybe the third or fourth time they've gone out, and they're already probably getting close to 50 people that have made professions of faith. 21 on Thursday night. Just amazing. It's
God's
exciting.
Doing something in these last days.
Yes. What it shows me is that the fields are ripe for harvest. Don't be afraid to share the gospel with your family and your friends. Don't be afraid to share the gospel with all those around you that you know and love but don't know Christ, because God is doing something. God is working in hearts. And by the way, that brings up a point. Maybe God has worked in some of your hearts right now. You've been hearing what we're saying today, and you didn't know the Bible even talked about it. You stumbled upon the broadcast. And you're going, oh my goodness, the Bible said that? They're talking, that's exactly what's happening. Well, yes, it is exactly what's happening, because the Bible said it would, and God's always 100% accurate. God wrote the word of God so we would know that he was real. He did it supernatural, including prophecy, so we'd know that no man could take credit. And so therefore, it shows you that God is real. And if you've been listening to the broadcast, you're saying, right now, I recognize that God is real, and I also recognize that I'm a sinner, and I need God. Listen, this is so easy. If you get past the pride, it gets easy. Just confess to God you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Tell him you believe that he died for you on the cross and spilled his blood for your sin. And receive and say, Lord, I give my life to you. I turn from my sin. I repent. That means to turn away from your sin. Give your life to the Lord. And the Bible says you will be born again. And if you do that right now, you'll be saved. And if you give your life to the Lord, call us here at Calvary Chapel, 609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. There'll be a pastor or someone ready to talk to you and encourage you. We'd love to make it 22, 23, 24, 25, 30 today. Who knows? Call in, and we'd love to see you. If you give your life to the Lord, let us know. We're here to counsel you. We're here to walk with you. And if you're looking for a home church and you don't have one, if you have one, stay put. Stay where God's got you, because that's where he puts you. But if you don't have a home church, we'd love to invite you to Calvary Chapel, Knoxville, 3330 West Governor John Sevier Highway. We'd love to have you join us. So,
all right, Pastor Mark, thank you so much, as always, for spending the last hour with us. And folks, no matter where you are at, thank you for spending this time with us. We hope it was enjoyable and a blessing, and we will be back next Friday. Hope you will, too, as we continue to look at the signs of the times right here on WIAM.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics, as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Like it's a ball.